Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jamie and Stoney, 97.1 The Ticket, broadcasting from the D in Las Vegas, home of Derek Stevens, home of Mike Valenti. And joining us now to talk the weekend in football and to give his dog of the week and to get Stoney's prediction of his dog of the week is our man, Mr. V, Mikey V. What's up, Michael?
What's up? How's everybody holding up? I know that's incredibly early hours out there. How's everybody?
We're doing okay. Bet on some weird things. Won one and lost the other two. But other than that, we're good.
The hero so far is Tom Milliken.
Back to that wedding in 1990. You all amped up? What's going on?
No, I'm not amped up like that. Not at all. It's the great coffee at the D and some Diet Coke, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, that's later, Mike. That's later.
Apologies.
All right, I don't want to go right into your wheelhouse, but I am going to go right into your wheelhouse. Short of firing a coordinator or firing the head coach, what would you do to wake up the sleepy MSU offense for the game tomorrow?
Okay, and it has to be realistic. It can't just be I'm angry and yelling.
Yeah. No magic wands.
I think the biggest thing is probably just wait till Northwestern. There's nothing. Without A.J.R. Curry and Cole Chewins, you're on your third-string left tackle. And I think, as you guys know, nobody has a third-string left tackle. We're using Kevin Jarvis, our right guard, who's actually a potential All-Big Ten right guard at left tackle. The one place I could make a change is I know they work their asses off, and nobody wants to go out and be bad, but people freak out. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that about a college athlete. He's old enough to vote. He's old enough to go to war. So let's not treat him like a child. Jordan Reed's terrible. There's just no other way around that. Jordan Reed is bad. So there's got to be a right tackle solution. You don't have the blindside responsibilities. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not going to yell about putting in a freshman like Devontae Dobbs. That's not realistic. They have to find somebody. They have to try something. I mean, if you watched the game last week, and I know he was going against a kid in Gibson who had 9.5, 10 sacks. Good non-power five pass rusher. Maybe he plays on Sundays. Jamie, you got to get your hands on him. That's the one spot that I could try to tinker with. The left tackle position is unfixable unless one of our top two guys come back. Period. So I'm waiting until Northwestern, Jay. I'm going to sit back and just bite my lip and try like hell and give them benefit of the doubt. If it's not fixed by Northwestern, I want them all fired.
Mike, how much does the injury to Naylor hurt? I mean, wide receiver is the one position that they actually have a little bit of depth in offensively. So will it hurt them that much? Especially the return game is really where it's going to hurt them, though, right?
Well, I think, yeah, the return game, no doubt. But people always have a tendency to overrate the guys that get hurt. I mean, hell, I probably do it, too. I mean, at heart, I'm a fan. But let's not get carried away here. We didn't lose Devontae Adams. Like, Jalen Naylor's made a couple nice plays in his career, but overall, it's not like he had 70 catches. It's not like we have a 3-year track record. Like, losing Felton Davis, yeah, that was a crippler. He had a track record. We knew what he was. Naylor he's part of the puzzle, but they have other guys. But like we just talked about, if they don't fix up front, nothing matters. They could have the greatest, they could have Michigan's receiving trio. It wouldn't matter. If you can't block it, you can't play the game. So I'm not going to freak out about Naylor. The offensive line's my only concern right now.
Mike Valenti with us here, his dog of the week coming up. What was your overall take of Michigan's first week under Josh Gattis? And do you want to use my famous phrase, Mike? Meh?
I mean,
meh.
It was all right. Yeah, meh. It was okay. You know, I mean, I'll give them credit in this regard. They are beat up. The difference is they have better depth than we do on the offensive line. I mean, look, that Ryan Hayes kid came in at left tackle. I thought he played really, really well. And Mayfield, who was in competition with Stuber for the right tackle job, played really well. So I would be encouraged by that if I were a Michigan fan. And look, Charbonnet, interesting. I'm not going to turn him into Barry Sanders like some of these idiots. But, yeah, I think The penalties, that gets cleaned up. I think the turnovers, that gets cleaned up. You fix those two things, which might just be indicators of, hey, it's our first game of the year. I think the offense could be really, really good. But it will all come down to what's that O-line like against real comp? Do they get healthy? Can Mayfield handle it? You know, how long is Runyon going to be out? And my concern for them is on the other side of the ball. It's the interior D-line. You can't be bringing Ben Mason as your first D-tackle off the bench. And, you know, Dana, the CMU transfer, like, they have got to get healthy in the middle. I think this week will be interesting because you know Army's going to cut block them to high hell. And usually when you play a service academy, you end up losing a D-tackle. It's the way it works. It's hard to play these teams. So I kind of want to see what they look like on the D-line. I was really unimpressed with the D-line. They couldn't get any pressure unless they brought six or seven guys. Not a good sign against Middle Tennessee State.
What we saw last night, game one of the NFL season, from the Lions' perspective, a team that supposedly has a pretty good defense, you're sitting there saying, wow, the Bears and Packers offensively, they didn't do too much. We can compete with them. Am I just looking through Honolulu blue glasses there?
I think you need another Bloody Mary. Yeah, I can't go that way. No, I can't do that. I mean, Mike, look, this is what happens when you don't play at all in the preseason. It's the give back. I mean, look, none of us want our stars to play. But then when they don't play, we bitch that it's sloppy in week one. I think there were two good defenses out there. The Pack spent a ton of money and a ton of draft capital, and specifically over the last 3 years, 4 years in the draft. It's okay for there to be a defensive game. I mean, I love the Pack this year. I think the Pack are going to go 12-4. I think the Pack are going to win the North. I took the Pack straight up to win the game last night. Like, I think they're really good. The Bears, to me, are the Jags from last year. Unless that defense is going to score 6, 7, 8 defensive touchdowns like they did last year, I think they're taking a step back. Now, their step back could be 9-7, and they might creep in. But I don't believe in Mitch Trubisky until I see it. You know, and we always get some angry Bear fan callers who are like, oh, you're a hater. No, I think your quarterback stinks. And last night, he didn't look good. He missed some open receivers, both throwing it and just not seeing it. And a lot of it was just panicky dink and dunk. It was, look, I just don't believe in the guy. But that both defenses, I think, are going to be real this year.
Nothing like erasure pumping through the speakers at 6 o'clock in the morning in Vegas to really give you that true Vegas experience. Right?
You got it. Yeah, guys, I'm telling you, that time slot for Vegas time, I don't know how you guys are doing it.
All right, before we get to your dog of the week and Stoney's prediction for your dog of the week and my prediction of Stoney's prediction of your prediction.
I like how that's become a thing.
Look, the national media is picking the Cardinals big in this. I don't get it. The Lions are favored by 2.5. We all know the Lions' history against rookie quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Matt Ryan. But if you took away the fact that they're, you know, Mike, the Lions, isn't this a game the Lions should win?
Yeah, I can't come up with a single football reason the Cardinals beat them. I can't. You just go rookie QB, rookie head coach, battle line. Okay, the team you're facing has potentially a top five D-line, and let's at least say a better-than-average defense. That's a win. You go to the other side, it's the worst defense in football, and you're coming to town with an established QB and what should be a decent run game. Like, I don't know what to say, and I'm not going to be presumptuous like you've listened. It's just I have said this all week since the spread came out. What am I missing? I don't get it. I've done like 15 topics on it. Guys, it was a pick 'em when it came out. Now it's Lions -2, and I'm like, wait, what are we collectively missing? I don't buy that they're the fourth worst team in football. I don't buy that they're going to go 4-12. Like, no, I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games, but I think they're probably an 8-win team, maybe 9. You're telling me they're going to go to the desert and get beat by that junk? If that happens, leave Patricia and his stupid scooter in the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't come home after that. They just got to basically put Patricia in a scooter in a trailer, drive him out to the desert, let him out, and go figure it out, and
yes,
drive right on down the road.
And make it very clear, Mike always roots for radio, but you understand that this would end the Lions season, so be very careful what you root for. All right.
I know. Listen, yeah. Jamie, we need them to actually win a few games
here.
I don't know if people are aware of this, but our teams kind of blow.
Yes.
Like, it'd be fun if we had something to talk about.
It would be magical.
Please?
All right, Stoney, what's your pick for Mike's pick?
Well, I'm gonna say Mike is gonna go with there's a team that is 8-2 as underdogs in their last 10, 7-0 on the road against the spread against non-conference opponents, and the favorite in this game is 16-35 as a home favorite. I'm saying Mike's gonna go Friday Night Magic, take Marshall plus 13, the Thundering Herd at the Blue Turf in Boise State. Boise State, they're feeling too good about beating Florida State.
Stoney does more work on his pick for Mike's pick than he does on the rest of the show combined. Mike, what do you got?
I didn't have the intestinal fortitude to touch that one. I'm sorry. I'm actually fading a team that I faded last week. I took Virginia over Pitt. I think Pitt sucks. I think Narduzzi's in trouble. They lost their top two running backs. The quarterback stinks. I think they had four and five new offensive linemen. They're facing the Fighting Soliches from Ohio. Look, veteran QB. Nathan Rourke put up nice numbers last week. There's going to be nobody at this game in Pitt. There's $8 tickets on StubHub. They're giving them away. I think Ohio is either favored with Western or co-favored to win the MAC. You got a bad football team in Pitt laying 5.5. I think Ohio could win the game outright like our dog of the week did last week. I'm going to ride with the Bobcats, the green and white from Athens, Ohio, and take the 5.5. I think they're going to give Pitt hell.
Maybe it's about time for Narduzzi to come out of the booth, you know? Come
yeah,
down to the
down
sideline.
The yeah. In the eye.
He's coming out of the booth. All right,
oh my
Mike.
God. Yeah, he may as well have been wearing a cape by the end of it, the way people talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Spartan fan sounded like Susan Waldman when she saw Roger Clemens.
Yeah. In George's booth. He's in George's box.
Oh, my goodness gracious. He's coming out of the booth. All right, Mike, thanks, as always, for your time. Enjoy the weekend, and we will talk to you next Friday.
All right, guys. Have a safe flight home. Enjoy your time. See you.
There he is.
Thank
the
you.
One, the only Mike Valeni.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.